1.3 Sport FM, Perth's voice for the sports community.
Welcome back to Talking Horses. On the line now from New South Wales, we have Lindsay Nyland. Now, Lindsay is a five-time national all-round champion in men's gymnastics. He's a silver medalist in the Commonwealth Games, former head coach with the WAIS men's gymnastic program, and a coach of numerous state and national champions. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello, Diane.
Welcome to Talking Horses, and unfortunately this program is only for an hour, so I can't read the rest of the stuff on this page.
That's all right, but thank you very much for
inviting me. With me is my producer, Ian Hale, Daryl Wilkinson and Alan Parker.
Evening, Lindsay.
Evening, Lindsay.
Hello, gents.
Only one rule on this program, Lindsay, no football. Now, can we just have a bit of a chat about what prompted you to start this program? Are you do you have a background in equestrian?
No, Diane, I don't actually. But what sparked my interest, I guess, was not long after I started coaching gymnastics. I was asked by the WA Turf Club to do some ad hoc training in tumbling techniques for their apprentice jockeys. Now, that was many years ago. And late last year, I've become aware of a number of the tragic horse rider fall incidents and decided to analyse some videos of riders coming off horses. It quickly became evident to me that riders generally have not been trained in fall safety techniques. So that's really what prompted me to develop this training program.
And have you had many riders that have participated in this training, and sort of how long does it take and what's the feedback?
Yes. Well, it is a new initiative, so certainly I've spent a lot of time developing the teaching and training methods to make sure that they're very fit for the purpose. They're modified gymnastic techniques, not standard ones. And I've had the opportunity to run introductory training in Victoria and New South Wales for about 40 riders of all different backgrounds. The feedback's been very positive. 87% of the participants put on their feedback form that they felt training in fall safety would reduce their risk of injury in a fall incident. And the other 13% said it would be of some benefit. No one said the training wouldn't help them.
And age, is there a minimum or a maximum age that you and I'm sure that women pick this up extremely quickly.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Quite right. No restrictions on age. There are some slight variation in training techniques for younger participants. It's certainly relevant if anyone's old enough and fit enough to get on a horse. They're certainly capable of doing this training. It's not advanced gymnastics training. It's their basic techniques, and they will be paced according to the ability and age level of the participant. But broadly speaking, the training can be offered for children, say, in the age of 8 to 12 years of age, and then really teenagers and adults. So there's no limitation on age. People do learn at different rates, so the progression of the techniques will be paced according to an individual's capability and how quickly they pick up the basics.
Lindsay, it's Daryl. Just going back a little bit to that point that Diane made about women picking it up easier than men, is there different training because of the different physiology of males and females?
Good question, Daryl. Because the techniques are all basic, there isn't any difference in the actual skills that are taught. And I'd say that more of the differences are not really gender related, but probably more individual differences based upon people's fitness level, just their general aptitude to do this type of activity. I mean, this is not horse riding activity. It's a different skill. So really, I don't think there is any significant or material difference due to gender. It's really more to do with the individual's capability of learning. And I'm recommending 10 training sessions because I think that would allow for just about everyone, even who don't have or people who don't have a high degree of aptitude for this sort of thing, to pick up the basic skills that will help to protect them in a fall incident.
Lindsay, it's Alan here. In an ideal world, and we all know that doesn't exist, would you do this sort of training before they actually start riding lessons?
Look, that would definitely be ideal. I think you've raised a very interesting point, because I think being a very new initiative, you know, it's a little bit hard to wind the clock back, I suppose, in that sense. And let's just say, let's look at, I don't know, many years ago, before we had compulsory seatbelts in motor vehicles. I mean, obviously people were driving around cars without seatbelts because it wasn't, you know, the standard. And then after a period of time when obviously professionals started looking at the statistics of, you know, injury rates with people that didn't wear them, well, of course, you know, that then prompted, you know, policies to make them compulsory. So I think given that this is a new initiative and the techniques are very specialised, whilst they're basic, they do need to be fit for purpose. And also, I guess there needs to be education about the benefits, and some people probably need to see those benefits. So I think it might take some time to gain acceptance. But you're right, in an ideal world, you know, or if we look at gymnastics, for example, one of the commandments is you don't take people up before you teach them how to come down. So really, I think it really behooves our administrators to get behind this, for particularly at, you know, the younger riders who will learn these skills very, very quickly. And once they learn them at a young age, I think that will stay with them for their careers and give, you know, hopefully some much better outcomes than what we've been seeing recently around the country.
Yeah, well, the reason I asked the question was that when I can remember back when I was a kid learning to play Aussie rules football, the first thing we were taught was how to ride a bump and how to, if you're going to hit the deck, how to hit the deck so you didn't get hurt.
And, that's right, yeah. Yes. And look, it's interesting. I think in this modern day and age, of course, kids have, you know, taken on technology and tend to play a lot of games, and, you know, there's a little bit less, perhaps, I guess, option for them to go outside and do stuff. And so I think, you know, when we were younger, just about everyone would have done gymnastics training or some sort of activity like that. So I think in this day and age, it's probably even more important to look at how we manage that for our younger riders.
Yeah, it's Ian here, Lindsay. Just more to that.
Yes.
Perhaps if it was taught in schools, and not just for horse riding, but there's probably riding bikes, for example, or any situation where you might have a fall or in an accident in a plane, for example.
Well, that's right, yes, exactly.
So, how to react quickly in that situation.
That's right. And look, again, you know, we tend to have more choices today in what we do at school, but in my time, I mean, gymnastics, and was probably because our head physical education teacher, Arkos Kovacs, I went to school at Christchurch Grammar School in Claremont, and he was, you know, a gymnast and introduced gymnastics-type activity into the phys ed classes for the entire school. So everyone got that grounding, and I think it certainly did everyone a lot of good.
Lindsay, back to falling from a horse, let's say the horse hits the top rail and
yes.
starts to go into a rotational fall.
Yes.
How much have you done statistics on the length of time it takes for either the horse or the rider to hit the ground, and how much time do they have to prepare before they hit the ground?
Yes, look, that, Deanne, does tend to be the main, I guess, concern about, you know, whether how much benefit the training will afford people. But I have looked at that very carefully. One thing that I had to do an awful lot of in my gymnastics days was analyse videos frame by frame in order to be able to teach complex movement sequences in very, very short spaces of time. So, you know, certainly very au fait with looking at videos and being able to detect, you know, what can be done in what time. So on average, the videos I've looked at in terms of horse riding falls, on average, riders have about 3/4 of a second to respond in a fall incident. Sometimes it's less, as little as 0.5 seconds, and other times they have a second or more. Now, these, of course, are very short time frames, which don't really allow the rider to be consciously evaluating the circumstances and then deciding between different courses of action. So I think when people say, look, there's no time to respond in a fall incident, what they're really saying is, I didn't really have time to think and figure out what was going on before I hit the ground. So for that reason, the training is designed to enable people to make a single decision to react and spontaneous response action. The initial emergency response action in a fall incident that's being taught to riders once they realise they're falling can be done in 0.5 seconds. So the initial response action is to release the reins and snap the arms into a brace position to protect the head and neck on landing, and then followed by a tuck and roll technique.
And how long if, let's say, one of my colleagues decided to enrol in one of your courses in case they tripped getting out of the car,
yes.
How long would it take them to become reasonably proficient?
Yes. Now, most of the skills that are required can be learnt consciously in around, you know, 3 to 5 training sessions of 2 hours. Young children, we can probably give them less because they'll be able to learn a bit quicker. So 8 to 12 years of age, I'd say an hour would be adequate. Teenagers, probably an hour and a half. And adults, I'm recommending a 2-hour training session to allow a little bit more warm-up time and for, you know, a slower progression. But what I'm stressing with horse riders is I think anyone that's in a situation where there's you know, a reasonable degree of risk they might fall off at some point in time, should do 10 training sessions. And the reason for 10 training sessions is after that amount of training, we will start to see the movement sequences become spontaneous. And when you repeat something 100 or more times, they'll etch a path into your unconscious brain. So that's really the reason I'd say 10 is a good number to keep in mind to get that spontaneous response action.
Lindsay, going back to a previous answer too, where you said that people react differently,
yes.
Is it better to do one-on-one training or do you do a group of people at a time?
Yes. Look, group sizes I'd like to keep to between 10 and 15. It can be quite successfully done in a group. The reason being is some of the techniques when they're initially being learnt need the one-on-one coaching and spotting. But a lot of them, once people it's been demonstrated and they've been coached, they're not, you know, there's no safety issues when we're looking at body shaping activities, for argument's sake, or when people are learning to roll forwards and sideways. Once they've learnt that initial skill, they can practice that in a circuit, if you understand what I'm talking about, without needing someone there watching over them. Whereas the coach or the trainer would be at an event which requires spotting. So we can successfully train the skills in group sizes of 10 or 15, even though one-on-one would be ideal, but I don't think it's very practicable from a cost perspective. And also, too, I think people will enjoy the group training.
And do they actually have horses there that you show them, even though the horse itself isn't falling, but you show them how to come off, or... Is it based on your gymnastic thing and you've got sort of equipment there to do that?
That's right. So it's all based upon equipment. The standard training will not include real horses in the sense, just to keep it to a point where it's very practicable and easy to carry out from any location. However, the equipment will enable us to do some simulation activities. So we'll be simulating the height of the height and type of fall from, you know, foam vaulting boxes and that type of thing. There is an opportunity to introduce some horse work, but that would need to be done in a controlled environment and obviously with a controlled situation where people could be, say, mounting and dismounting off their horse with someone obviously restraining the horse. So that would really be to enable the transfer of skill learning. I have spoken to some riders who've done, you know, the odd bit of gymnastic or martial arts training, for argument's sake, and some of them have said they've been able to transfer that skill learning into a fall incident. Others have said it hasn't done them any good. In other words, they haven't been able to transfer their skill learning.
Lindsay, have many other sports taken this up?
I haven't really taken the initiative at this point to approach any other sports. So I don't actually know what they're doing in this regard. I guess I had a general interest in this area and I felt, given the recent statistics, I thought the greatest good can be achieved by focusing on, you know, on this particular area, the equestrian and all horse riding activity, because when you look at the statistics compared to other sports, it stands out quite alarmingly in terms of serious injury rates. So I felt that greatest good could be done by focusing on this. That's not to say that it couldn't be applied to other sporting disciplines.
And the other thing I was going to ask was, obviously you're based in New South Wales. Are you planning on running clinics sort of in different states? How would people who are unable to go to New South Wales?
Yes, that's right. Look, it's a mobile gym set up, so it's very easy to be transported anywhere. My plan down the track would be to have a mobile gym set up in every state and then have a team of coaches working that I would be carefully supervising. I think whilst the skills are basic, under the Gymnastics Australia Skills Matrix Accreditation Program, it does require advanced accreditation to teach any skill that involves coming down, say, like in a dive roll or a somersault position from a height. So in that sense, there's not going to be an abundance of people that have the basic accreditation to train. And furthermore, I'm developing this as a modified program, so I'd really want to take any person that has that accreditation and put them through, I guess, like a bridging program to make sure that, you know, these skills are and training methods are fit for purpose. So I think there's a little bit of work to be done there to get this rolled out quickly. It will involve myself doing the training, assisted by some others. And I'm more than happy to go anywhere where there's demand. I mean, I'm from Perth originally, so I take great pleasure in, you know, a trip across the Nullarbor and spending a few weeks in WA. The idea would be where I do have to travel, that I'll spend a reasonable amount of time there to enable to offer this training to, you know, obviously all and sundry who may be interested. So, look, it will involve a little bit of logistical planning initially, but as it gathers some momentum and acceptance, obviously we'll be able to look at how we roll that out in a bigger way.
Lindsay, how can people contact you, and do you have a website?
Yes, so the best way is on the website. There's a lot of information there, and that's horseriderfallsafety.com.au. So if you type in any words of that nature, or safe jockey or equestrian fall safety or anything like that, you should see it come up the top of Google. So, yes, certainly that would be the easiest way for people to make contact.
Look, that's been fascinating. It's certainly a very inventive concept. I'm surprised that nobody's thought of it before. But I'd like to wish you all the best. And if you do plan on running any clinics in WA, if you could let us know, we'd be more than happy to promote them.
Thanks, Dion. No, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I certainly will endeavour to make the trip across and definitely be in touch.
Many, many thanks.
Thanks, Dion.
Okay, all good the best, night, Lindsay.
Good thanks.
Night, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And it was interesting, wasn't it?
So that, very much so.
And obviously I was interested too that he, we're not talking about specific equipment to wear, either clothing or whatever. The other thing was last week we spoke about the Duke of